You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We can also be heard on the web at WWBC. Just hit the on-demand button. Every week, my co-host Ellen Little and I get together here with awesome friends in our studio, and we chat about kitchen table topics, what's going on around the world, what's going around right here in Brevard County, Florida. And we have guests that tune in online or listen on the radio and give us their feedback as to how we're doing on our shows. And today is a show that's dedicated to what's going on in our community as well as around our world. I've had a lot of people that asked me to do a show about the coronavirus, and we did have someone last week. We had our good friend, a physician that came on, Dr. Katie Fillion, was here last week, and she spoke about the infectious disease and good hand washing, and she gave us some updates from the CDC. And so today I decided that I'll just do it CETA style and have a supporter of the show. My friend Matt Price is here.
Hi, CETA.
And Matt is the president of the Nurses Union for Rockledge Medical Center. And just remember, folks, that Matt fights year-round for safe staffing. And he fights for the nurses, and he fights for medical supplies, and so that our families and our patients are taken care of, not just in the time of the viruses, but year-round. So for that, Matt, we thank you.
Thank you.
And also, one of our segments today is dedicated to our friends at the Green Gables at Historic Riverview Village. We have Marion Ambrose right next to me. That's her. We have Mary Brotherton, who's here. I hope I said that right.
Brotherton is fine.
Jennifer East is here.
Hello.
We also have Susan Fallon and Ellen Little, my co-host. I hope you're feeling better from last week.
I am. I am feeling much better. Thank you.
Right. And so Jennifer is the Peace Corps. Jennifer is here to talk about a film that was just made about historic Green Gables. And Mary's here with Be Unique Magazine. Amazing what happened on one of our shows when everybody met right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and they decided to put together a beautiful film about how we can save a part of history right here in Brevard County, Florida. And before we go to talking about the movie and what inspired them to make the movies and all that, I just want to say it's about time that people here in America stop discarding the elderly and stop discarding old things.
Don't you agree? Amen. Absolutely. Amen.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And I'm seeing a lot of people talk about Joe Biden because he's 77 years old. Guess what, folks? Experience counts. Age is there for a reason, but don't think for a second that people who are older are not wiser and bolder and can run circles around us young people. Because I work with the elderly and I get a lot of my advice, and they give me a lot of insights about how America was built on hard work and sacrifice, and they have a lot to offer. I agree, if someone has dementia, if someone has Alzheimer's, if someone has lost their memory due to an accident, that's a different story. Matt, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I think that we definitely need to pay more attention to how the elderly are being cared for in this country. And, you know, the coronavirus is definitely drawing some attention to facilities and how fragile people can be, and that we can lose that easily.
That's right. So Matt's going to be on the second segment, so stay tuned. Ellen, I think this is the time when you could tell everyone who's tuning in how they can listen to our show online before we start chatting with our friends from the Historic Green Gables and Be Unique Magazine.
Absolutely. So you can tune in online on demand at www.1510wwbc.com. You can also get all of our archive shows. Hard to believe, Sita, it's been 9 years, almost going on 10 years.
Congratulations.
I know. It's amazing. And you figure two or three guests, just like today, we have a full studio, two or three guests a week, 52 weeks. I think we've aired a double show maybe twice. All of those things are archived on our SitaMediaInc.com and also SitaMedia.com. Of course, it's all duplicated on our Facebook page as well, and you can find that under Sita Media as well, and Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Well, thank you,
You've done a fantastic job.
All of us have.
Yes.
I don't think when something is successful, it's one person. It's a team. It's a team of people that does it. Never one person. All of us, somehow, we add to what we're doing. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we have with us today Mary Brotherton, along with Jennifer East, and they both founded Peace Corps, an educational nonprofit organization that Mary says starts with philanthropy and ends with enthusiasm.
It does.
So I think I'm just going to open the show with you two. Tell me a little bit, Mary, about you, and then we'll go to Jennifer.
Well, I started editing when I was about 4 years old with a crayon in my cereal box, according to my mother. And I've always been an editor. I always find mistakes in other people's writing. It's just easy to point out, and I find it in my own writing. But when I met Jennifer, we started working for someone else, and one day we decided to create our own magazine and had no idea what it was going to be. But in a moment of serendipity, we looked at each other and said, yeah, whatever we do, it has to be unique.
Yeah. So, Jen, you moved here. You moved here from California.
Well, I'm kind of a gypsy, so I really don't. I can honestly say that I've, in my 35 years of marriage with my husband, I've moved 23 times. So that tells you that I've been around. And so, yes, I did live in California. My origin actually was Seattle. I was born there, but So I'm about as far away from where I was born that I can be. But if I had my way, I would love to live in Japan or live at other places.
Not right now, though.
No. Yeah. I'm planted for a little while.
And right. And right next to me is my good friend, Marian Ambrose, who I just bother a lot on social media, on Messenger. Like this morning, I said.
You never bother.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a retired teacher and also an author of several books. But you got yourself involved in the historic Green Gables community.
I did.
And tell us, how did that come about?
Well, I'm president of the GFWC Melbourne Women's Club, and two of our members went to an open house at Green Gables, and they learned that Nora Stanford Wells, who is the Mr. Wells and Mrs. Wells built Green Gables, was a former president of our club. So that sparked my interest a little bit, so I went to just take a look. And once I got there, I just fell in love with the place and the mission, and wanted to be involved in saving this historical treasure in Melbourne. So I joined and helped them with some of their functions, and then was asked to be on the board, and then last January was elected president.
Well, thank you. I know. I came to Green Gables, and I could feel her spirit there. I really could. And Susan, you got involved as a volunteer, and you're there all the time helping as well. What drew you to helping at Green Gables?
Well, I went one day just to help Marian, but when I learned about Mrs. Wells, and I was also a member of the Melbourne Women's Club, so her Mrs. Wells' connection as being one of the first presidents of the Women's Club, plus I retired from the city of Melbourne, and when I found out how much the Wells family did for the city in when it started up, I was just very amazed and very... I was always proud to be a city employee, and their motto is services are business. And when I saw what Mr. Wells and Mrs. Wells did for the city, it just made me want to get connected and help out.
Yeah. So, Marian, why is saving Green Gables so important?
Green Gables is one of the last historic homes. A lot of our history has been torn down for development in Melbourne. We have a few other houses like Green Gables. Green Gables is a Queen Anne in architectural style. There are only two others in Melbourne. One is a Strawberry Mansion, and that's a commercial property. They've changed the inside. It hasn't been restored as historic. The other one is Gleason House over on the beach, and that is a private home so that you don't have access to it. So Green Gables really is the last historical home that would be open for the community. to view and experience history, to enjoy the green space. It's like an oasis in the middle of downtown Melbourne. We're right on the river. We have beautiful oak trees that Mrs. Wells planted 124 years ago. It's just a very peaceful place where we have dolphins in the bay. We have all sorts of birds visit every day. It's something that everybody needs, and we really don't have enough of in Melbourne.
Right. And, you know, Mrs. Wells suffered from a respiratory illness as well.
She did, and that's why they built the house.
So I'm pretty sure, bless her heart, if wherever their spirit is, if they were here, they would be donating to help with this coronavirus.
They were very generous people, and they would. They had the community's welfare at heart. So, yes, I'm sure they would.
So, Jennifer, you guys met, and I know you felt that move, whatever it was, it moved someone when they visit Green Gables. What was your inspiration behind the documentary you created for Green Gables?
Well, it's funny. I didn't even know about Green Gables until I came to you on your show.
So thank you for that,
thank
Sita.
Thank you so
Isn't
much, Sita. It was all about you. And so, you know.
Well, they say the good Lord works in mysterious ways.
Truly. And it's connecting the dots.
Yes.
And you're one of those dot makers.
Yes.
And we're the dots. Dot connectors. They were the dots. But after I heard the story, and then Mary and I talked about it, and because we have the publication, we thought, we definitely have to do a story on this, of course. And we did the story, and it was great, but it just didn't feel like enough. It felt like that we had to do more. And so then we just talked about it, and I'm like, well, we have a great team. We're all production people. We know how, we have lots of skills. Let's do a documentary, because Green Gables has a great story to tell. And maybe if once people, because not, it's really difficult to try and get everyone there to see Green Gables in person, but if we could get the essence of the story and let the people know, that's what this film is all about. It's called Forgotten Enchantress. And Green Gables truly is the Forgotten Enchantress. The moment I went there, I went to see Marion first. I'm getting teary because it's like every time I talk about this, I'm so, like, I just feel so, it's such an important thing to save. But I went to see her, and she had tea for me on the porch, and I sat there, and I just, it's like I entered a different world. I was no longer on this planet where
I'm so
used to.
Yeah, you were taken aback. I know, I felt the same way.
Yeah, yes. It's such a strange, I mean, I've never really ever felt that. I've been in older homes before. I really have. I love history. I love, I've been all over the place. I've, but there's
at
something
At least 23
about,
different places.
At least 23 different places. And I was sitting there. I remember even when I walked upstairs, I'm like, oh my gosh, this place is so special. It's real positive. It feels really good in there. And I keep telling people this, but I have a problem with migraines, and I can go into that house and the migraines are gone.
Right. It's worth saving. So Mary, do you know how the film has impacted the fundraising for Green Gables?
Well, I'm probably not the person to ask that question. I think Marion or Sue could answer that.
Yeah, well,
better.
Well, Sue, do you know if it's
impacted? I think it's helped tremendously.
And just so the exposure.
Yes, the exposure to the whole public, whereas if you didn't know where the home was, you can go on the GoFundMe site and watch the movie in the convenience of your own home for $10, just like going to the movies. But it does, to me, it does make a difference to see it on the big screen. It's just, there's so much impact there.
And for Melbourne, you know, for Melbourne, Florida, that was such a red carpet event. I absolutely loved it. From the beginning to the end, the reception to when people left and said goodbye, you know. So, Mary, how have things changed with your podcast and with the magazine since you got involved with Green Gables?
Well, we just recently had a pledge-a-thon with Green Gables. Unfortunately, we had a glitch halfway through, so instead of being 6 hours, it was 5 hours. And I talked to everybody that wanted to call in and talk to us about Green Gables. And I believe, Sue, it was your friend who called in, wasn't it, Brian?
Brian, that Marion is, Marion's familiar, I mean, very knows Brian very well.
He's a roofer, right?
No, he's no. A contractor.
Contractor.
He owns his own Monarch Homes. And he's on our advisory board of Green Gables.
He's a former student of mine, which makes it even more fun.
Yeah, he was just so, it was so cool to have that unexpected caller. Because I was planning specific people to call at specific times, and we would talk about certain things. And we kept telling everybody that for only a $10 donation, you can get, you know, to watch the film in your home. And then Jean Albertson, who is a phenomenal volunteer with Green Gables, said, anybody who pledges today, I'll come and give you free gardening advice.
Right, and he is so knowledgeable.
He's wonderful.
He knows everything.
He is such a blessing.
So for our listeners who are tuning in today, this is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we have an action-packed studio today right here on WWBC. We have Matt Price, who's here with us, Marian Ambrose, Mary Brotherton, Jennifer East, Susan Fallon, and of course, my dear friend Ellen Little, my co-host who's been here with me for 9 years. And we're discussing what we can do as citizens in Brevard County and the United States to save the historic Green Gables home. You can go on the Facebook page, Green Gables at Historic Riverview Village. So Marian, since you were here last time on the show, how have you been able to collaborate with our good friend Jennifer and Mary?
Well, they become more than just friends. They become family since then. They have worked so closely with us, and they have given so much of their time, talent, and treasure. The documentary, I think, is what really changed us from acquaintances to family. They worked so very hard for us. And because of them, we have raised quite a bit of money due to the documentary. And also, we've opened a lot of people's hearts to our mission, which, you know, people hadn't even heard of Green Gables. So the documentary has gotten the word out to so many more people. Our visitors have increased. We're open on Saturdays from 10 to 2. So we have a lot of people coming that have read about us in B-Unique magazine or have heard about the documentary. They've seen the trailer and wanted to come and take a look. And then once they come, just like everybody else, they become enchanted. And
that's amazing that so many people live right here in Brevard County, Florida, and they drive by US 1 all the time. And they don't even look for 20 seconds. Of course, you shouldn't take your eyes off the road. You can cause an accident. But the thing is, it's right there in plain view. And I drove by the other day, and I saw that you guys had put up some St. Patrick's Day's decorations.
We do. We have a poster. We were going to be in the St. Patrick's Day parade, and our float was we actually just acquired a wonderful donation of a huge dollhouse. And the dollhouse looks like Green Gables. It has an octagon porch like we do. And actually, Jennifer's husband Bob has actually built the Queen Anne Tower on it for us, and Jennifer painted it, and it's just amazing. We were going to put that on the truck with a rainbow over it, and the banner says Green Gables, Melbourne's pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Aww.
But since they canceled the parade, we put it up on the house, and it looks fabulous. And then out on the road, we put the second poster, and we made a big rainbow. So as you pass on the road, you'll see a giant rainbow with a banner.
Yeah, well, you know, Jennifer is quite talented there.
Multi-talented.
Yeah, I mean, and this is why it was just divine intervention that you all met on the show. So, Jen, we have a lot of people who following protocols. They're washing their hands. I don't even know why washing your hands is something that people are now recognizing they should do. My mother used to say cleanliness is next to godliness, right? And so they're home with their children. They're washing and cleaning, and people want to watch a movie. Is there a way they can watch the movie that you, the documentary that the film you made about Green Gables and maybe donate at the same time?
Yes. If you go to GoFundMe, it's super easy, GoFundMe.com, and then you type in Save Green Gables. It'll take you right to the actual campaign. And for a $10 or more donation, we will send you a link immediately that you can watch it on any device.
And what is the date? I mean, I'm calling it the doomsday date that is coming, that we will know whether we made the amount of money needed to purchase this property or not. Is it sometime in April? I'm holding my fingers.
It is. Our original date is April 1st that we have set for ourselves, but we actually have till April 15th. But April 1st is the deadline that the board set itself.
Maybe because of the coronavirus, they'll move the date up to maybe the summer? Because now they're canceling all the events and stuff. Maybe we need more time to raise more money, right?
That's true. We were supposed to have an event on the 29th. Rachel Sadoff was running for clerk of courts, who was your guest last
week. Yes, yes.
She was holding an event and it had invited all friends of Green Gables to come, and all the proceeds were going to go to Green Gables. But she's going to decide Tuesday whether she's going to move it or not. And I think it'll probably be moved to April 5th.
that would be wonderful. And Mary, so what's going on over at Be Unique? You guys got involved with the documentary, and you're still running articles. You still have your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Give us an update about Be Unique magazine.
Well, I want to say one thing about Green Gables. I met a young man, a child. He's 11 years old, Christian Thine, and he came to me, and he was just fascinated to meet a real editor. And he said, one day I want to be a writer. And I said, have you ever written anything? He said, well, just school reports. I said, then you're a writer. And he said, really? I said, yeah. Have you ever written anything about Green Gables? He said, as a matter of fact, I just wrote an essay about my trip here. I said, Mom, would you have that essay sent over to me? I would like to publish it. So Christian is now the youngest published writer in Be Unique. We also have an audio version of the magazine. We're in our second issue of that. So if you're commuting and want to, or if you're sitting at home because you can't go to work and you can't figure out what to do with your kids, just go to beunique.org and click the audio version, and you can listen to the entire magazine.
And that's interesting, because right now, when you're looking at what's happening all over the United States, libraries are closed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, schools are closed. People are staying home with their kids. And if they could listen to it or they can watch it, either way, it's a good thing.
And Be Unique, and I'm going to spell it for everybody because a lot of people don't know how to spell it. It's B-U-N-E-K-E. Of course, it has to be unique. So that's beunique.org. And all of our magazines, so all the publications are sitting there. We don't ask for anything like your email or anything like that. You just click and read. And then all of our videos are the same thing. If you see it says what do you do on the website, or what do we do on the website, and you can click down a drop down menu and everything's there, and it takes
it's user friendly.
It's very, yes.
So Jen, what are you working on now? I mean, I know you have a lot of pilot projects in the works. Can you share any with us? Because I have something that I want you to get involved with, something that I heard this morning, and I'll have to tell you what
I'm
it is.
Excited.
Yes.
We do have a couple things in the works. Unfortunately, I can't really explain yet.
Yes.
I have to kind of keep them under wraps. A couple of things that are really exciting that we're working with some other people. And I did get word too that there is another older home that they're going to be moving. That's somebody who has actually been through this project with Green Gables. They have a historic home.
Is it a home or a church?
I don't know if it's a church or a building. I'm going to find out.
You're talking
more
about Mr. Jackson?
Not Mr. Jackson, but Joe.
It's a church.
Okay, it's a church, but they're going to be moving it.
They want us to document it for them.
Yes, so that's really exciting, and I'll be getting more information about that.
Yeah,
so.
It's great to see you getting involved with the community and sharing stuff like that, because ordinarily people won't get involved.
Right.
They just let it go. Again, there goes that word old. They'll just discard it, you know?
Exactly.
But, for our friends who are listening, Green Gables is an historic site. It's located on 1.15 acres of prime riverfront space. It's right on US 1, just before, I think it's Hibiscus, right? Right there. So take a look at it. And if you have some money to donate, if you care about history in Melbourne and what the Wells family have done, it's almost like they set the roots down so that all of us now we're just receiving whatever they gave. It's like when you plant a tree and you get fruit from it. We are receiving the fruits, right, of their labor and their philanthropy. So mm-hmm. I think it's only fair that we try to donate and try to save the building. I am pledging today that Viewpoint with Sita and Friends will give you guys $100 towards cleaning supplies.
Thank you.
Because you're going to need a lot of supplies with everything, with all the visitors coming and going. We'll give you a check today from our show.
Wow,
yeah.
Very much.
Nice.
That's awesome. Oh, you're welcome. So everybody has a vision, right? So we'll start with Miss Fallon, Mary Fallon over there. Tell us what's Sue Fallon. Tell us, what is your vision for Green Gables?
Well, my vision is to have it be totally us to purchase it, first of all, then have it stabilized and all of the structural things taken care of by specialists who work on historic architecture that are preservationists, and then to, of course, do the inside and decorate it and see it be open to the public so that people can come through and Marion and the other docents can give them a tour or teach them about the history of Florida, and then also have the Student Education Center be available to classes throughout Brevard County to come there for a field trip, and they learn how to do things during those times, like make soap, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And what about you, Jennifer? I know you have a vision as well.
I can't even imagine a world without Green Gables, to be honest. And just knowing all of the things that they want to do with the property, and it's all community-based. And I can't even imagine not having that in that spot. And if you have the time to even go there, and even if the Green Gables is closed, you can see the location and where it is, and it's a respite. It's, you know, because there's craziness everywhere else, and you go in there, and it's just, you're back walking back in time. And my vision is that it's saved, it's refurbished, they're able to do all the programs that they want to do with it. And I also want to finish the documentary. So this, what we did is the beginning, and it gets us up to the point of saving. Now, the rest of the documentary will be them purchasing the home and its refurbishment and what it was meant for. And right. That'll be the complete
And what a gift it'll be for Melbourne. You know, when people come to visit, downtown is already growing so much. Mm-hmm. And people have a choice to go visit, take the trolley over, mm-hmm. get in the gift shop and buy a little something and take it home for their family that says Melbourne on it. You know, and just be able to share the experience with somebody else. And you know, Mary, I know you're listening there, and I know you have a vision as well. That everybody should have blue hair.
I do.
Blue and green, thank you.
Yeah.
My vision for Green Gables is what everybody else has said, in addition to the opportunity for me to find more brilliant young people like Christian to become writers for Be Unique.
Isn't that amazing, Matt? And I know before we get to Marion, Matt, I know you said you drove by Green Gables a lot, but you didn't really know all of this, did you?
No, I did not know.
So
about
you're the one we're trying to educate today.
I did not know about that until now. So yeah, it makes the building seem even more unique.
It's
and
personal.
Important.
It's personal now, you know. And I know, Ellen, you also have a 30-second blurb you could give before we go to Marion.
Absolutely. Well, John Daly and I were in the same office building when this whole thing first started. He sort of told me the vision of it from the very beginning. And our Dixieland band actually played at one of the first events that they had. So I've been connected to it, and I'm
You want to see more events on the lawn?
I love events on the lawn. Yeah. That's my favorite. Garden parties are my favorite.
Mm-hmm. And Marion, we're kind of holding our ads for a minute or two. So I want you to tell our listeners and Viewpoint with Sita and Friends about this baby that's been, you've been nurturing this baby forever, and you want it to grow up and be there for everybody to enjoy the historic Green Gables, that home, that beautiful home.
Well, just like every other mom, I have big dreams for my baby, which would include lovingly restoring the home so that people can tour it and see how people lived and the architecture. That's very important. But I want to expand our education program. Right now we do have classes come. We have scouts come. People can come and learn about the past. We do teach them how to make soap or churn ice cream. We'd like to expand that greatly. We would also like to make this a real center for community engagement, which would include all sorts of activities on the lawn. Right now, we do many. We do Easter egg hunts, and we did a Halloween event for children. We had a pet adoption with Wayne Ivey's South Animal Shelter.
Yeah.
So we want to expand things like that. We've had three weddings. We're going to have another one pretty soon.
Right. And in today's world where everybody is so scared of the coronavirus, and they're telling us about social isolation, washing your hands, being careful, know where you're going, just standing on the lawn there and breathing would be good.
Yes,
even if you don't even have an event. Just have an event where people come and stand up straight, square their shoulders, and take 15 deep breaths and walk away. You will feel good. I
like that.
Yes.
Why not? I mean, there doesn't always have to be that people have to pay for something, but you could get something out of green spaces, which we don't have a lot of places. Don't you agree, Matt? Breathe, just deep breathe, right?
And I know it's not on the ocean, but vitamin C, SEA, is the best.
Right.
Yes.
Best.
So on our second segment, we're going to come back with Matt, and then all the ladies who are here are going to join in. We're going to talk a little bit about what we are doing. Have we changed our behaviors now that we have the coronavirus? Matt's going to talk about nursing and protocols and We're just going to have a nice conversation because we want to include everyone on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
So all of the information about Green Gables, historic Green Gables, as well as Be Unique magazine and the podcast and the GoFundMe page are all on our Facebook page under Sita Media and under the post for today. So make sure you look that up. And we will be right back after this quick message from our sponsors.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a great first half an hour, Ellen. I'm telling
always
you.
Always so exciting.
It's always nice to have a studio full of experience.
Exactly. And about community and local events and ways to share. And
engagement.
The fact that Be Unique magazine is allowing people to share stories and share more stories about what's going on in the community and in their world and in our listeners' world. Please make sure that you reach out because that's a fantastic opportunity.
Right. And so now our second segment, we've got my good friend who's also a supporter of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I can't thank Matt Price enough for supporting the show and coming on to give us you give us really good advice about what to do with nursing, what to do about when you have a loved one who has to go to the hospital. You try to calm people's fears and anxieties about admitting protocol and what happens when someone is in the hospital or in ICU, and you fight for safe staffing, which is something that so many of us in healthcare, we see the need for it. So thank you.
Yes, and especially right now, we have a number of healthcare workers that have been exposed to corona, and so we have a number of those staff that are having to quarantine at home for 14 days. A friend of mine from New Jersey was just telling me the number of nurses that they're needing up there right now to help out with somewhere around 60 nurses that are at home quarantined due to the virus. So, but I wanted to say I love the energy in the room today because positivity.
Because you're so young.
I feel the positivity from everyone, and I think that's great because there's been a lot of stress, people having fear of what's going on with the coronavirus. And, fear is not good for our bodies. It's worry is not good for us for health. And so our psychological wellness is just as important as doing all the prevention and other things that we need to do and that we've been hearing people say. And
we know the last time you were on the show, when we were leaving, you said, I really wanted to talk about good hand washing.
It's true.
So I printed it and I brought it for you. So for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Matt's going to go through the steps of good hand washing, because really and truly, the only way in my mind to actually prevent the spread of infectious diseases is good hand washing. Well, of course, we'll go through a few other things, but tell them what to do, Matt.
Yeah, well, it's pretty simple. You can either use an alcohol-based sanitizer, which a lot of people do. It's quicker and easier. But the availability of those is a little scarce. Some places right now, people are having a hard time finding them because the shelves are empty. So just regular soap and water is the easiest way to wash your hands, obviously. And, you know, you turn on the water and adjust it to a temperature that's comfortable for you. Hopefully it's not like the prison where they don't have hot water in Orange
County.
Don't
even get me started on that.
You will be able to have warm water and be comfortable. Turn that on and wet your hands fully and then soap them. Lather it up. You want to wash for 20 to 30 seconds. We usually tell people to sing happy birthday fully through twice, and that's enough for about 20 seconds. Then thoroughly rinse your hands, starting towards the top of your wrist and down to the tips of your fingers, and then dry them off with preferably a paper towel that you're going to use to turn the water off with, because you don't want to touch that handle that you had dirty hands with when you started. So,
and my friend Ellie Logan, our friend nurse practitioner Ellie, she wrote on Facebook, do not use a hairdryer. A lot of people are saying you could dry your hands with a hairdryer.
The air dryer.
You need to, you know, just be careful. Wipe those hands.
Yeah, and they're don't saying touch that the disperses, faucet. That does disperse. If there's any bacteria left on the hands, that you can disperse it.
And so for the coronavirus, Matt, what are some of the what are they telling us to do? I mean, we've got updated advice from, you know, everybody heard me talk about Anthony Fauci. 79 years old. Listen, folks, don't discard our folks in the 70s. They have a lot to offer. And Matt, I'm sure if I invite him over for some curry chicken and a glass of milk or some tea, he will come over.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm going to tell him curry kills everything.
It does. Yes. It is so good for you.
But, you know, he's been talking on TV. It is Anthony Fauci right next to President Trump. And he's coming. He's very credible. He's like the comforter in chief right now. What are some of the ways people can reduce the spread of this virus right now?
Well, just some of the things, like I said, make sure that you don't get too stressed out. Make sure you're well rested, that you're maintaining proper nutrition. You know, we know that vitamin D and a lot of things in our food are good for our immune system. And so make sure that you are eating properly and that you have good nutrition to support your immune system, and then staying well hydrated with water or other fluids, and then exercising regularly, whether it's just taking a walk. And I know a lot of people are concerned about quarantining and self-quarantining, but I think, you know, as long as you're not in those large groups of people that you don't know whether or not they have a fever or illness, you should be outside getting that fresh air and still taking your daily walk if that's what you do.
Right, and avoid touching your face, they're saying.
Yes, yes.
But you know, this morning
people naturally touch their face.
Well, this morning they showed you all the people in the airports waiting on their flights to come home. And no one is quarantined. Like hundreds of people sitting in the airports. I mean, that is a place, a breathing ground for the germs, if you ask me.
Yeah, and we know
one
TSA worker did test positive or presumptive positive from the Orlando airport. So those workers are, you know, being exposed as well. Personal protective equipment is really important for the workers. And, you know, I hope that at this point we're doing everything that we can to provide that gear for them, because I know people tell me from time to time they don't have it. They do not have the gear, and we need to be protecting the people that are protecting us.
So as president of the Rockledge Medical Center Nurses Union, what are you doing to help the nurses? Are you in contact with anyone? Have you sent out emails? I mean, I would think people are coming to you
and they're saying, look it, we don't have enough masks. We don't have enough gowns. We don't have enough. We're not seeing any activity in the hospital lobbies. I mean, I know one hospital in town had removed their cleanser because children were playing with it. Has it been replaced?
Well, in our facility, we have alcohol wash stations throughout the facility. I'm not sure if they're right in the entryway right now, but they're certainly throughout the facility for people to use, and there's a lot of public bathrooms where people can wash their hands there. You've probably seen some of the nursing homes are actually restricting visiting. I would suggest that people do that in the hospital as well. If you don't absolutely have to go visit someone or someone is not critically ill for you to see, I would avoid doing that. Avoid going to those places where we know that people are already sick. And that goes with the flu or whatever, too. We want people to be protected. We take care of those people every day. We know that there is risk for that for us, and we try to use our PPE, our personal protective equipment, to avoid illness in our staff. But especially if you have a respiratory illness already, or if you have a chronic disease like COPD, asthma or emphysema, diabetes, you definitely want to avoid putting yourself at greater risk, because those are the populations that we're seeing that are getting severely ill with the coronavirus.
And they're saying
even
that
to the point of death. And some
right.
people,
and they're saying you're going to have long-term lung issues as well.
Yeah, the ones that are that we've seen that are out of Hong Kong have actually shown about a 20% or 30% reduction in lung volume from the damage that happens from the body fighting off the virus. So there are, there is no FDA-approved treatment for coronavirus. There are many trials that are going on, many research trials. There also have been some drug companies give donations of drugs for various things, and one of them is a drug that's used for rheumatoid arthritis. It's an anti-inflammatory, and they're actually doing studies with it now in trying to prevent that lung injury from happening. So it's called Actemra.
Yeah, I heard that on NPR. but Matt, what are some of the symptoms of this disease? Because, of course, if you have influenza, you're going to have a fever, you're going to have a runny nose, you're going to have a sore throat. It's almost like the symptoms are kind of the same for coronavirus.
They are very similar. And so that's why if you see the way that we do testing is we actually do influenza testing first. And so you will be swabbed for that and tested for that. And if you test negative for that, then we go on and we do the PCR test for the coronavirus, which is very costly and time-consuming at this point because we have limited test kits and limited labs that can test those. So hopefully within a number of months, we'll have a serum test available as well. I know that's being worked on, and that's much more... it's much quicker to perform that test and less costly.
You know, we've had to test a lot of people where I work who has respiratory problems for the flu, and they don't like getting that swab in their nostrils. I'll tell you that right now.
No, not at all. One of them,
like, why don't you swab yourself? And I'm like, I'm just trying to help you. I just need to go in there and swish it around a little bit. This old lady said to me, do it to your own self first. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, depends. So there's no vaccine, but I know we have a lot of experience in the room, right? And I'm going to start with Miss Ellen over there for 30 seconds. What are we doing with our own personal behaviors to help fight the coronavirus? Like, well, have you changed anything in your life right now?
I'm taking colloidal silver, and I am also taking zinc oxide.
So that's good.
You know,
you're building
again,
up
natural,
your immune system.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't know who I'm going to come in contact with. I'm in the public quite a bit. So I never know who I'm going to come in contact with. Yeah. This is all because of singing for
You have to be careful too because you don't know who's coming off an aircraft and coming to one of your shows.
Exactly.
All right. And now we're going to go to
or
Sue.
From the port.
That's right. The port.
Well, I'm taking elderberry and sambuca each day. But and I'm just trying to wash my hands a lot, and I'm taking care of my grandchildren now that school's out. So just trying to keep everything wiped and cleaned.
Right, and to say if you have animals, we do love them, but you've got to keep them clean because these little creatures can carry germs as well. You know, wipe the countertops down, the floor, and all that. What about you, Jennifer? Are you doing anything different?
Well, I know one thing. I have my daughter who's flying in from Japan on Sunday. My husband has a heart condition, and so we already have just talked to her about it. She actually was in Australia, and then she flew to Japan, back to Japan. And we told her she'll be in a two-week quarantine, whether she likes it or not. and we're going to, you know, this is so incredibly, I have not hugged my daughter in almost 8 months, so I'm not going to hug her. She's just going to hop in the car, and my husband's not coming, and then we're going to get her home and shower her and wash and sanitize everything that came, that was a part of that airport. And she basically has, I call it the Anna wing. It's just a room off to the side. And we're going to have her all set up in there. And she's a student, so all of her classes have been, they're now online. So she doesn't have to worry about going into class anymore. She's a college student.
So and unload up her room with a lot of soap and water.
Yeah.
She's going to need that. And what about you, Mary? Are you doing anything different?
Not really, because I've always taken colloidal silver. I've always been a big mineral and vitamin proponent, and I do what my mother taught me. I wash my hands thoroughly. I make sure that I'm kind to everybody, and so if somebody invites me somewhere, I give them a kind decline if I need to.
Well, I know I am. I stopped. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the events were canceled. We had a fashion show we were supposed to attend in West Palm Beach. It was canceled. We had a trip planned for New York to go and see Wicked. That was canceled. My daughters had to cancel that.
Michael Bublé tickets.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
We had a Persian New Year celebration party that was canceled. So I'm experiencing a lot of social isolation by my pool. And my husband said, did you notice that the pool had all these colors before? I'm like, no, I never did. I've lived in this house for 6 years and I never really sat by this pool because I can't swim. We just have it and I go in the shallow end. But in the evenings, who has time to go sit there with a glass of wine? All of a sudden, I'm being forced into this social isolation and I kind of like it. So I'm home. I go to the gym, then I go home. And of course, washing hands. I think we're talking a lot with our family members as well, which is good. I expect to see a lot of pregnancies in 9 months because a lot of my friends who used to frequent bars, only thing I'm saying is practice safe sex, guys, because if you're home a lot and you can't afford to take care of children, you better be careful because now they're saying in 9 months we'll have millions of babies born,
another
not
baby
just in
boom.
The United States, but a baby boom all over the world. So I'm concerned about that, but I've changed.
So it used
going
to be
out.
Just a little fun fact. It used to be that October 1st was the number one birthday in the United States, and it's because it's the gestation period from New Year's Eve. So now we'll have a whole new gestation period from the coronavirus.
Coronavirus babies. And I'm sure, Marion, you're doing something as well with this coronavirus.
Well, I've always been the Clorox cleaner with bleach queen. If it doesn't move, I scrub it with bleach, and I've always been that way. My mom was a nurse, so I was well-trained. But one of the things that I have done, I've suspended all meetings for Melbourne Women's Club because a lot of our members are high risk. So I didn't want to take a chance, and our state president said, err on the side of caution. So we've suspended all of those meetings. We've continued to hold our meetings at Green Gables, but
that's
they're
open.
Board meetings, and it's open. We have our meetings at Green Gables, so we'll be in the open. And as a teacher, I've been teaching my kids proper hand washing techniques. I'm a STEM teacher, so that's been part of my curriculum. But I teach them to make bubble gloves. They get soap, and I tell them you have to make bubble gloves so that the soap covers every part of your hand that a glove would. And so they've been practicing and having a good time.
Well, that's good. And so, Matt, and so you've been doing a lot. So what are some of the sanitizing the good stuff that we can use? Besides, they're saying that hand sanitizer is good, but nothing beats good soap and water. What else can we be doing for the cleanliness part?
That's true. Sanitizing besides hand washing with surfaces and areas that people are going to be touching over and over, if you live in a common building or a building with a common area, making sure that, you know, each of the neighbors are doing their part, taking cleaning that area. But if you're going to be using bleach, make sure you use diluted bleach. You want to do a 1-to-5 ratio. So if you're using a gallon of bleach, you're going to use 5 gallons of water. Or if you're going to do a smaller portion, make a cup of bleach to 5 cups of water. And then it needs to stay on the surface wet for 5 minutes before you wipe that area off. That bleach has to have time to work. And there are many other products available on the market too, if they're still on the shelf. Lysol spray works. It is an alcohol-based product primarily, but it has some antibacterial in it. There's a lot of new cleaners with Microband 24, which is allowed to stay on the surface, and it works for up to 24 hours and continues to kill things during that time.
And people are asking where to go. I mean, I've been telling folks to go. My husband had so many people that call him, you know, to ask him what should they do. Because we had a good friend that passed away last week, and the funeral services were supposed to be on Sunday. But my husband is high risk as well, Jennifer, because he has a heart condition. And it was very sad to say that although we were very close with the family, he said, I will not be able to attend the funeral. And so then other people said, well, I have a respiratory condition, I have a heart condition. And so the funeral services were canceled. The gentleman is going to be cremated, and then I don't know what the family's going to do. But this is how serious this stuff is. People are really, really being careful. And then I hear other people say, well, you could still go to work and life is, no, life is not as usual. You have to take precautions, especially if you're over 70, or now they're saying over 60. Because my husband's over 70, and so he has to be very careful. So our life has changed dramatically as far as meeting with people and all that kind of stuff. So I certainly understand what you're doing. But
to be careful, too, because you need to be thinking about those other people, whether they're your neighbors or whoever. And so if you feel ill or you're sick or whatever, you definitely want to stay away from them. But also, you don't want to be going to work sick. I mean, you know, I know some people don't have paid sick time, and so they're worried about that loss of money. You know, I hope that employers are stepping up, like the president has asked, that these employers are going to provide this time off for workers if they've been exposed to the coronavirus, whether it's at work or not at work, so that people are not coming to work that way, because presenteeism actually spreads illness more than not having a vaccine for something or not taking those other preventative measures.
Right. And it's so sad that people still have to worry about their mortgage payments, car payments, rent, putting food on the table, buying medication, whether they have health insurance or not.
Not to mention the fact that the schools are closed.
Right.
If people were paying for childcare, what are they doing now? I mean, if you don't have family, right, you know, in town. People are saying that this would be the time, that if you were going to open a babysitting business, this would be the perfect time to do that, because there's a lot of people in need right now.
Right. Yeah. The only thing is, you know, with watching other people's kids, we live in such a Sue-conscious society that, you know, good people who used to step up to the plate to help others, people have to think twice, because after this coronavirus goes away, you know, so-and-so did this. We see what happens in our society. It's fearful at times. Good people can't even step up to the plate. Like I said, maybe I'll come in on my day off, because our job was thinking about bringing the children in and people watching them, nurses coming in and support staff. And then another friend of mine said, you better not. You don't know what could happen with these kids. You know, people say you touch them in the wrong place, you yell at them, you were angry. And we all know that right now mental health is a great thing as well. It's something that people are worrying about as well. People are home, they're cooped up, they're experiencing cabin fever. What can people do mentally? Just go to the parks, walk, talk?
Well, I mean, a lot of people do those types of coping skills. They already have them already, but there may be some people that aren't used to it. They're so used to our digital world that they may not be used to picking up a book.
Yeah.
Or just, yeah, like you said, taking a little walk. Taking a little walk down the street or whatever. So this is a good time, like you said, reconnecting with family, calling people. You don't have to be with them face to face. We've got video calling nowadays, a telephone, just checking on our family members, especially if we know they have chronic illness or that maybe they've been sick recently.
Oh, listen to Anthony Fauci, my friend, my 79-year-old friend, that MD. So what are some of the resources? I know you gave me a few, but there's a coronavirus call center as well.
Yeah, let me say one more thing too. One more cleaning thing that you can use that you may already have in the house in case you weren't able to get something from the store is hydrogen peroxide in your cabinet. It does take longer to work. You've got to leave it on the surface wet for 10 minutes, but it will still sanitize that surface. So if you weren't able to get other products, you can go to hopefully your medicine cabinet. The Florida Department of Health has put out a telephone number or call center for coronavirus. So if you have questions or concerns or you feel like you may be sick, you can call 866-779-6121. Again, that's 866-779-6121. Or you can go to their website at www.flhealth.gov. And then also the other sites that are updated each day that we get new information continually are the CDC website at www.cdc.gov and the World Health Organization that's compiling data from all over the world with treatment protocols and statistical numbers and things like that at www.who.int.
And I can't stress enough that the Centers for Disease Control, they've always said that good hand washing is the best way to stop the spread of germs.
That's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Matt, you're doing a lot of stuff with trying to help with the safe staffing. Are you noticing that the nurses, nursing fatigue with this coronavirus?
Well, I think nurses are fatigued a lot anyway, but certainly when you have more shortage of staffing going on or more stressful environment, it's important that people go ahead and take breaks regularly. If they're able to do that, don't be skipping lunch breaks. You need that nutrition too. You don't want to be taking care of people with hypoglycemia or low blood sugar because you're not going to think as well. But it's amazing that we think people can work 12 or 13 hours without any breaks or fluids or whatever. And people just are not able to perform as well like that. And they're more prone to becoming ill themselves.
So the caregivers need to be taken care of as well. Whether you're a caregiver at home, taking care of grandchildren or children, or whether you're working in the healthcare field. And I just want to say before we go off air, there's a lot of countries where people don't have running water and soap as well. And for those places, I tell you, my heart breaks. I really had a nightmare last night about where I was born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago. There's still areas where people don't have running water. And so it's so great for us to say use running water. So if we do live in the greatest country in the world where we can take care of our citizens collectively if we all just put each other first and start being thy brother's keeper, really, in thought, words, and action. Because we can. We really can.
Yes, we can.
So I hope after this coronavirus, everybody starts reevaluating what we can do to make it better for everybody.
That's exactly right. And once again, another fantastic week on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. All of the information that was shared on today's show is on our Facebook page, right underneath the post from today's introduction. And we'll be right back next week, right here at 1 o'clock on 1510 WWBC.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.